So this last weekend, I was up in South Carolina. My family has some land up there, and I was putting in food plots, and we had this big tractor. And anybody, Matt talked about what food plots are last week. You guys remember? What are they? Were you listening to Matt? They're plots of food, like hamburgers and hot dogs? No. What kind?
It's like you set up like special place for deer to come run, and then you shoot them.
Yeah, and then you shoot the deer when they come. But basically, what you're doing, you're planting crops. Like, you take the tractor and you till up the soil and then you throw seeds in there, right? That's what we talked about last week. Well, I was up doing that last week with my dad, and Justin was up with us, and we were out. Justin did the tractor most of the time, and then my dad jumps on the tractor near the end. He's like, I'll finish up, and my dad's out there. And he sends me off to the shed to, like, get some stuff for him just as he was finishing the day. And so I drive off, and I'm in the truck, and when I'm in the shed, all of a sudden I started to hear something on the roof. I was like, really loud. I was like, what is that? And I look outside, and out of nowhere, it had just started raining. No, not deer. Deer weren't jumping on the roof. Good call. Good guess, though. It was rain. Yeah, it was literally rain. It was like just storming. Out of nowhere, this rain just started like pouring down. The skies were clear when I had gone in the shed. And then out of nowhere, it was just like bad, bad storm. And so I'm like, wow, they're getting really wet up front. I should probably go pick them up. So I jump in the truck. And as I'm driving out to the front, like, the lightning starts going everywhere. It looked like you're standing in front of the news and they're all, like, taking pictures of you. There was that many flashes. And, like, the thunder's just like, boom! Like, really loud. Yeah, like, it was louder than that, though. And there was a lot. And I was like, what is going on right now? And I'm, like, sitting in the truck going, I hope they're alive. They're not, like, I'm going to fight some, like, fried chicken that used to be my dad up there. So I drive up and I get there. And they're not there. I'm like, where are they? Like, they're gone. Did they get zapped by lightning and just disappear? What happened? So then I drive out to where there's this like little spigot. We have like a little hose. And my dad is out there. And you wouldn't believe how much rain there is. I mean, the rain is pouring down torrential. You can almost not see out the windows. And guess what my dad's doing?
What is he doing?
He's hosing down the tractor. Like, why would you do that in the rain, Dad? I'm like, have you not noticed, like, the storm that is all around you? Like, I didn't want to get out of the truck. This storm was so bad. And so as I go to get, I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I'm not getting out. You guys can get in. My dad just sits there scrubbing the tractor. I'm like, do you not notice the danger? You can get struck by lightning right now. He didn't care. He just carried on thinking like everything was normal. Well, the passage that we're going to look at tonight, there are some disciples, and they're going through something very similar in this crazy storm, and Jesus is doing something like my dad, acting like nothing's wrong, just chilling. Like, what are you talking about? What storm? And so will you look with me in this passage, Mark chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 35, Mark 4, 35. How many Bibles are there? Are there Bibles out there? Oh, look at all those. Good job. All right, keep bringing Bibles. Mark 4:35. Let's look at this storm, this crazy storm that's going on, and what Jesus is doing, all right? It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? This is an awesome story of Jesus' power. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anybody like calm storms before.
Oh, yeah.
All the time. But I've never seen that unless I was watching X-Men, when that one chick can like make storms. She's pretty cool. But I've never seen that before. And Jesus literally standing on this boat in the craziest storm probably of all time is just like, boom. Completely calm. Completely still. And I just wonder what his disciples were thinking as they watched their Jesus do this. So let's start off in verse 35 and just kind of dig in a little bit. It starts off with a phrase, chapter 4, verse 35. Okay. It says, on that day when evening had come, what was Jesus doing all day? How come he starts off the story right there? On one day, all of a sudden, when evening had come, well, what was going on all day long? Do you remember from before this? He was preaching, yeah. He's preaching and ministering all day long. There's this huge crowd, right? Because there was always a huge crowd, and he's off by the seaside right here by Galilee, and there's a ton of people like usual. They're all around him, and he spent the whole day healing people, casting out demons, and doing all this stuff. working hard for the kingdom, right? And he's exhausted. Like he spent this whole entire day working. And all of a sudden, he looks up to his disciples, as tired as he was, and he goes, hey, let's go find a Howard Johnson. No, he didn't say that, right? He didn't say anything about that. What did he say? What? What does he want to do? Where does he want to go?
The other side.
Why did Jesus cross to the other side? It sounds like a chicken joke, doesn't it? Why did Jesus say, hey, let's go over to the other side? To preach to more people. Yeah, he's not done working. Jesus just spent all day long preaching, ministering, healing, casting out demons, doing all this stuff, preaching the word. He's exhausted, and he looks up to his disciples and he goes, hey, you know what? I haven't had enough yet. Let's get in the boat and let's go to the other side because there's more work to do over there tomorrow morning. Not rest. Hey, let's go sleep for a while. Let's get something to eat. Let's chill. But let's keep working. That's crazy because sometimes I feel like it's easy to have excuses of like why we can't do stuff for God. And our Savior is like, man, I've been doing this all day. Of all people, I should be able to stop and take a break right now. But Jesus is like, no, there's too much work to be done. There's too many people that need to hear about salvation. There's too many people that need to be healed. There's too many people that have broken hearts and need hope. We need to go. I'm exhausted, yes, but let's get in this boat and let's keep serving the kingdom. And I just wonder, is that a good example for us to follow? Like, should we be doing more of that? Should we be taking a lot of our excuses and pushing them aside and say, what am I doing for Jesus? I mean, look at how much Jesus did for us. What am I doing for him? Am I taking the time to actually go out and do something for Christ? And so he goes, and it says, and leaving the crowd, because he had just attended to him, all right? He had just seen all of these people, and they go away happy. They're not complaining. They're like, I got to see Jesus. He ministered to me today. So they leave the crowd, and then look what it says. They took him with them in the boat. Here's a really important phrase. Don't miss it. He says, just as he was. What do you think that means? How was he? Any ideas? Anybody confused by that? Mm-hmm. No? Well, then you should all be able to answer it or raise your hand, one or the other. I was confused by it. I was like, what does that mean? Does anyone want to take a stab at it? Just as he was, they took him in the boat. What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah, it could have been like he was tired. I'm sure that was part of it. That's what you're going to say? Any other ideas? So like dirty and stinky, long day, he's tired, all this stuff going on. Any other ideas? What if I show up to AJ's house? Let's say you're like home and your family's already in bed. You guys are exhausted. Like you're sleeping. It's 2:00 in the morning. And I go and there's like, I get, I don't know, some awesome tickets to some really sweet thing. And it's only at like 3:00 in the morning. I show up and I'm like, AJ, we're going to go. I got these tickets. You got to go. Get up, dude. Get up, get up, get up. And you're like, get up. And your hair's all sticking up in your pajamas. And you're like, Dad, can I go? And I'm like, yeah, but you don't have time to go change, dude. In your PJs right now, dude. I know you got little trains all over it, little fire trucks and stuff, but that's okay. Just as you are right now, jump in the car. We got to go to this concert. It's on right now. Let's go. All right. Just as he was, he jumps in my car and we just go. We go off to this thing. Well, that's kind of crazy, right? Like, he's not even ready for this. He hasn't prepared for this. He didn't even get all cleaned up and dressed up and looking pretty for the girls. He just is in his PJs with trains on him, all right? Well, Jesus is sitting here. He'd done this all day long, and guess what? He's exhausted, and it's nighttime. He's about to get in a boat, and what do you do at night usually? What do you usually do when you're on a long road trip?
Sleep.
You sleep in the back seat where your parents drive, right? Jesus is probably going to get in this boat and go to sleep, but does Jesus have anything he needs to go to sleep? No, he doesn't have any of his stuff. So they know he's probably going to get in and go to sleep. But they're like, well, just as he was, without his blanket to put on, without this cloak they usually wear when they would go to bed at the time, without any sort of thing to like lay on or sleep on or his, none of it. He was just going to go and just sleep in the boat on the way over there, just as he was, without getting anything ready. He didn't take the time to eat. He didn't take the time to get even his stuff to sleep in the boat or change his clothes, like some of you guys said, or get the sweat off him. He just said, hey, we have to go. We've got to get up and go serve the Lord because this is what we're here for. Why else be here if we're not serving God? That's what we're living for. And listen, there's an awesome truth in that because let me tell you, there's no other reason that's worth being here than serving God. And so many people in life try so many different things, and some of you guys might try them yourself. And I'll tell you what, at the end of it all, you're going to find something out, that there's not anything else worth being here except serving God. And Jesus was all about this. Everything else was pushed aside. His own comfort was pushed aside. His own sleep, where he would sleep on, his everything. He was like, no, this is most important. I got to be about the work of my Father. And so he jumps in the boat and they go. And then the next verse says, or the next part says, and other boats were with him. Uh-oh. I wonder if these other boats knew what was about to happen. Because you guys already know the story. I've let you in because we've read the whole passage. What happens in a minute? Mickey Mouse comes out from behind the curtains. What happens? What? A storm. Yes, that's the whole point of this. You've heard four storm stories already. This is a crazy storm. And I wonder if these other boats who were like, hey, let's jump in our boats and follow Jesus, knew that this storm was coming. And I wonder if they knew if it was coming, if they would still go. Would they have still gone? Maybe they'd be like, I ain't getting in this boat. Look at those clouds. Look at those waves. No way. I'm going to stay right back here. But it doesn't say that. It says that these boats went with Jesus. You know, it's crazy because at the end of like a long, tiring day, when you're really, really exhausted, the worst thing to have to happen is to all of a sudden be caught in the middle of this big sea in a crazy storm when you're already tired and already hungry and already exhausted and sweaty. And now you get to face this too. Have you ever had one of those days where like everything just seems to like go wrong and like you finally go to bed? I remember this one time, everything was wrong. I came home, my air conditioner didn't work. So I go to bed in the heat. I'm absolutely miserable. And I just finally get to sleep even in the heat. And all of a sudden, my stinking alarm, like the fire alarm thing, starts going off. Wakes me right back up. And I couldn't get the thing off. And it was just like one of those, you're so tired, it makes it even worse because you can't like turn it right and you can't do it. And it's just going, hey! And you're like, no! And you just want to break it, you know, like, and you can't. And it just makes everything worse. Well, that's what's happening. Like Jesus has just spent this whole day. He's exhausted. He's out in this boat. And then here it comes. Now there's this huge storm. It doesn't affect Jesus quite the same way as it did me when my alarm was going off, though. Look at what happens. This is so awesome. These other boats are out there with him. The storm, verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Here's something you need to know about this sea that they're on. Anyone know anything about the Sea of Galilee? Any ideas? Anybody know about it? It's in Galilee. Good start. It's a sea. Okay, so we got the two most important parts, all right? Well, let me tell you a little bit more than that. It's 700 feet below sea level.
Oh, gosh.
What? Like, how does that even happen? I don't even know. It's crazy. 700 feet below sea level, which causes some crazy stuff to go on. It's 13 miles long and 8 miles wide, and at its very southern end, it has this really deep cliff-lined valley. Right, about with all these cliffs. And what happens is the air comes and it rushes over and the wind will funnel down. And because of like all the different variables involved, sudden storms can just pop up out of nowhere. And they're crazy, crazy powerful storms because of all the stuff that comes. And so there they are. They're on this sea and here comes one of those storms. Just out of nowhere, boom, this huge violent storm pops up. And it says it's so bad that the waves were breaking into the boat. Have you ever seen any of those movies where like they have the really big waves that kind of like take stuff out? Have you ever seen like a tsunami type movie? They're awesome because like especially with the new graphics, like these waves look so real and like really, really huge. Or maybe you've been surfing and like you've seen some of those big waves and you're not a good surfer like me and just poof, you get pummeled. Like you've experienced the power of waves. All right. Well, they're on this boat and these waves are powerful and they're just crashing inside of the boat. Well, little hint, boats are supposed to have water on the outside, okay? Not on the inside. And so as they're in this boat and they're watching these huge waves just pound on top of the boat, it's filling, literally filling the boat up. And so they're like standing and sitting in water inside the boat, and that's a real bad thing. It hadn't even sprung a leak. It was just, there were so many waves and so much wind. I remember I was on a, anyone like canoeing? Any canoers?
Kayaking,
same, almost same thing, all right. Well, I was canoeing in New Hampshire. Anybody? No? Not as many. There's some awesome rivers in New Hampshire to canoe in. And my family went out. I was just little. I was maybe like 6 or 7, I guess. And I was with my family. And my dad loves canoeing. So he brought us all out. Me, my sister, my mom, and my dad. We jump in this canoe and we start going down this river. And it was a nice river. Had like these little rapids and stuff. Yeah, all of us in the same one. Bad idea right there, okay? So we're going down in this canoe all together. And it looked like a beautiful day to start off with. But about halfway down this river, it's one of these crazy, like, oh, the clouds are getting really dark, Dad. Maybe we should go back. No, no, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We keep going. They're getting a little darker. You know, I think I see some lightning way off over there. No, we'll be fine. We'll make it in time. We didn't make it. A couple minutes later, this storm just broke loose. And we're all sitting, and as the rain is just pouring into this canoe, I'm literally, because I'm sitting on the bottom of the canoe, not like on a seat, my butt's getting wet, and it's just like filling up as I'm sitting there, like, what's going on? And like, the rapids are pouring in a little bit, and we're going down. My dad's like, no, you'll be fine. And we keep going, and finally, my mom's like, are you sure we're okay? And my dad's like, we'll be fine. And just when he said it, there was this crazy strike of lightning that like came down right next to the river. It hits this tree, and it's just like, and we're all like. So my mom literally gets up, because we were right kind of by the shore. It wasn't a very deep river. She literally jumps out of the canoe and grabs my arm and takes off. All right, so now we just left my dad and my sister sitting in the canoe like, what? Where'd they go? She's like, we're out of here. And she takes me, and she's dragging me through the water. I'm like, where are we going? And we literally walked down the side of the river all the way back. And so my dad and sister were back there, like, waiting for us. And there's me and my mom walking in the rain all the way back to the thing. It was a crazy storm. Like, I thought we were going to just sink. I'm sitting in this canoe. It's filling up with water. Nobody wants to be in a boat that's filling with water. It's just a bad day right there. Have you ever been maybe driving down a highway like in 95 in your car when a really bad storm comes?
Yeah.
You can't see anything. The windows is like, it's scary. People are pulling off to the side of the road and just like sitting and waiting or finding bridges because a storm's so bad. Storms are powerful. Nature can be really, really powerful. You guys have seen some crazy like storm movies, I'm sure, of like tornadoes, Twister, and like hurricanes, different things like that. It's powerful. These disciples are sitting in the middle of this, and guess what? Probably just like you and I would be, they were scared. Like, they were scared out of their minds in this boat that's just getting tossed all over the place like a rag doll. And they're like, we need help. Where is Jesus right now? Well, let's look and see where he was. Verse 38. But he was in the stern. That's the back of the boat. Asleep on the cushion. How could you sleep through that? Do you know anyone like that that could sleep through anything? Jesus is so tired and so exhausted at this point. He's not even waking up. I mean, the boat's getting thrown everywhere. There's rain and wind coming down. And he's just like snoring in the back. All right. And they're like, what are you doing, Jesus? He's asleep on the cushion. Well, first of all, the stern of the boat, okay, that's where the pilot would be. That's right where they would steer the boat from. And that's where Jesus is. And he's sleeping on this cushion. And this wasn't like a pillow that you have at home or like some nice mattress. This cushion was rowers, the people who like took the oars and would row the boat, they would sit on this cushion as they rowed so it wouldn't be as bad on their butt while they're trying to row. And that's what Jesus was sleeping on in the back right now. Whatever he had, he just got it and he's sleeping back there. I think it's really cool. I found this phrase that talks about what Jesus is doing right now. Because to the disciples, they're like, Jesus, how could you be asleep? Like, don't you know what's going on? There's this crazy storm. We're all about to die. They actually say it. Listen, they say, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care that we're all perishing? Like, we're dying. Check out the storm and you're asleep in the back of the boat. But this guy named George Herbert, you'll always remember that name from now on, I'm sure. He said this. I'm just going to take a little piece of his quote. He says, storms are the triumph of his art. Though he may close his eyes, yet not his heart. And Jesus, as he was sleeping in the back of the boat, by no means did he not know what was going on. Now, I'm not saying he was back there pretending to sleep with one eye open, like tricking people. But here's the deal. Jesus knew in his heart exactly what was happening. There was a reason why this happened. He wasn't unaware. He hadn't lost control of the situation. Jesus was in perfect control. And we're about to see why. We know that in a minute. But his disciples are thinking, what happened? Like, you just don't care at all. Well, Jesus cares. And we're about to see just how much Jesus cares. Verse 39 says, and he awoke check this out, and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You know what he's actually saying? When he says peace be still, the command there is actually like muzzle yourself. Like to take, you know what a muzzle is? Like, so you can't talk. You ever told your friend who yaks too much, like, put a muzzle on? You probably never said that. But anyway, animals wear muzzles, and so they don't bite you and stuff, you know? And it keeps you from talking because you're going to talk like this because it, like, blocks your mouth. Well, Jesus is like, muzzle yourself, and he's talking to the storm because when you have waves splashing and wind roaring and howling and all this huge storm around you, it's loud. It's very noisy. The boat is creaking and cracking and people are probably screaming and like there's all sorts of confusion. And Jesus looks out into all this mess. After his disciples wake him up, he doesn't even say anything to him. He just walks out to the storm and he's just like, hey, be quiet. Stop making noise. I'm trying to sleep. Like, that's Jesus' response to this. And I just picture my dad, what? Hosing down the tractor, you know, like, there's a storm? No big deal. There's Jesus just like, really? I'm the Son of God. What do we have to be worried about? Storm, be quiet. I'm trying to sleep. Boom. This crazy noise, these huge waves, all this wind, just settles straight down and is calm. At the words of Jesus. Just his words. And nature bows to this king and is like, whatever you command. If I was a disciple in that boat watching this happen, I'd just be like, I have no words. Like, I'd probably pass out. Like, did that, what? What just happened? Jesus is so powerful. Now listen, this isn't the first time we've seen him show off his power. Earlier on in chapter 2, we saw that he has authority to forgive sins. We saw that as the Son of God, he can forgive sins. And then later on in chapter 2, we saw that he's the Lord of the Sabbath, right? In religion. And he's the Lord also in chapter 1. He has this authority in his teaching. And then later on in chapter 1, we see him casting out demons and he has authority over demons that would fall on their face even when they see him. And he tells them to be quiet and they have to be silent. And now he's showing his authority again. Like this whole book, he just keeps showing his authority over and over. I am powerful. I am the king of this universe. And in this one, he's showing us that even nature has to listen to him. His authority over everything. This is the king of the universe. Now listen to me. It's easy to not care so much about having a powerful God or a powerful Jesus until you're in this boat, literally. Until your life starts to go crazy and haywire. Until you're the one losing a family member that you love. Until your heart is just broken into shreds over somebody who's hurt you. Or a family that's crumbling. Life is not easy. It is full of storms. And if you haven't been hit by one yet, most likely you will be eventually. And what you need to know as these storms are going to come to each of us in life is that Jesus is way bigger than any storm you are ever going to face. And as you're sitting in that boat of your life and all these things start going wrong and your heart is just in shambles, you can look up and be like, you don't have to go, Jesus, don't you care about me down here? Have you ever heard yourself ask that question before to Jesus? Like something gone wrong and you're like, really? Don't you care what's happening right now? We're perishing here. There's a storm all around me, Jesus. What are you doing? Where are you? Know this, Jesus is not asleep. He might be sleeping with his eyes closed, but he is so aware. Sometimes he needs to teach us something, and so he allows the storm to come, and he sleeps so that we do what his disciples did. And look what they do. 39 says, I'm sorry. I lost my verse. 40. Was it 40? I need to go backwards, though. 38 says, and they woke him. That's it. That's all I want to say. And they woke him. A couple words to say this. There's a storm everywhere. We're probably going to die. What do we need to do? we need to talk to the only one who can fix this problem. Why do you think Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat? So that his disciples would learn that when they're in a time of storm, they run to Jesus. They don't just run to him. They trust that if we wake Jesus up, guess what he'll do? He'll take care of this. He's big enough to take on any storm. Let's wake Jesus up. Listen, as you have trouble in your life, please learn this. Run to Jesus. Wake him up. Pray to him. Beg Jesus. Jesus, where are you? Jesus, I need your help right now. Wake up and help. Jesus, I know you're the only one with power enough to do this, to handle this for me. Please, I'm asking for that now. And that's what his disciples did, and they ran to him. Don't be like his disciples and go, don't you care? Why don't you care about me? Because look at Jesus' response to them after they say that. He says, now I lost my other page, guys. I'm all over the place tonight. I apologize. It's all your fault, Chelsea. It's all your fault. I'm just kidding. It's not your fault. Verse 40. That's what you told me, right? Okay, verse 40. He said to them, is what Jesus responds, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? That's his response. Like, haven't you learned by now that I'm powerful enough to take care of this for you? Like, really? I am the Son of God. You've seen me cast out demons. You've seen me multiply food. You've seen me do all of these amazing miracles right in front of your eyes. Don't you know how much power and control and authority I have? And I love you on top of that. Don't you think I want the best for you? Don't you have faith yet? And he knew that they had faith. He wasn't saying that they had none. They believed in Jesus, they wouldn't have woken him up. But it was like they were still young, like still immature in their faith. Like they should know better. I want to read a verse for you. It's Ephesians 4:14. It says, so that we may no longer be children, immature, right? Like these disciples right now, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Now, Paul's talking, he's dealing with a different issue, but the same truth is coming out here. Spiritual immaturity leads to a lack of faith. We need to look to Jesus and say, you really are big enough. And if I believe you're big enough, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to have faith in you. So when the storm comes, I'm running to you. I'm not going to run to other things hoping that they solve my problems in life. I'm going to run to Christ because I know he's the only one that can solve any problem I have. So Jesus kind of scolds him. He's like, you guys should know better. Don't you have faith? And it says this about them. This is their response. And then they were filled with great fear. And this word is actually like fear of all fear. That's how this actual word is, like the greatest of fear is what they're filled with right now. And they said to one another, look at each other and like, hey, who is this guy that even the wind and the sea obey him? You see the change all of a sudden? First, what did they fear in the beginning of the story? What were they scared of?
The storm.
The storm. All of a sudden, Jesus shows up and does his stuff. Now who are they fearing? They're not worried about the storm. I bet even if the storm was to start raging again, they'd be like, oh, well, I fear this guy a lot more. All of a sudden, their respect turned to Jesus. Their eyes turned to Jesus, and they weren't even looking at the ocean anymore. They weren't worried about the water in the boat anymore, the fish that had poured up on it, or whatever else was going on. They were looking at Jesus, and they couldn't take their eyes off of him. And sometimes bad stuff happens so that Jesus can show up in your life and just flex his muscles and show you some awesome power in your life as he overtakes the hardship. And sometimes that hardship lasts a long time and it hurts and it's hard to go through, but he has not forgotten about you. You might think he's sleeping for a while, but he's building something in you. He's making you patient and strong and faithful. And at the end of this, at the end of this storm, what Jesus will do for you is have you end up on your knees before him, worshiping him, praising him, and more faithful than ever in a big God who can take care of you through any storm. All right? Will you pray with me? Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you that you care about us so much. God, we're not just little insignificant pieces of dust on this big rock. Lord, you know each of us by name, every piece of us. You love us and you created us. And Father, you are there for us through every storm. And I pray that if there are people here with hurting hearts, and I know there are, God, that you would show your power to them. That you'd flex your muscles to them, God, in the situations that are crushing them and breaking their hearts right now, and the storms that they're in. Father, show them your faithfulness. Show them how strong you are. And Lord, if there are people in this room tonight that don't know you, God, I pray that they would find you, that they would be saved because they realize that you are the Son of God and the only way we can have salvation. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.